Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a shit. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows a name, read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it, it's time for the truth. Here's our dude, you're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Yeah. Listening to Haney.
Hey everybody, welcome into the Hank Haney Podcast. It's Minnesota Tim Perochka with you on this Sunday. Best of, bringing you the best of clips from the previous week. On Monday's podcast, Hank and myself, we reacted to the TaylorMade driving relief last Sunday. You can go to Monday's episode and hear that entire podcast.
I was glued, dude. I was glued.
Oh, must watch TV, Hank. Must watch TV.
They had it everywhere. It was on the Golf Channel. It was on NBC. It was on NBC Sports. I mean, they've got nothing else to put on anymore, so they just ran it everywhere.
Oh, hey, boy. They raised about $5 million for charity, a little over.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You think that's good?
I mean, I would expect the Tiger Peyton Manning one to do a little bit better.
Yeah, what do you think they're going to do?
Ooh, I would bet that they go like 12, 13 million.
They're starting off at 13 million. They haven't even started dialing in for dollars like, you know, what everybody did.
So I won't go over. I'm playing Price is Right rules. I will not go over.
Okay. Over 20, would you go?
Over 20? Man, no, I'm not going to say over 20. No.
I think they're going to raise $20 million.
$20
million? Yeah.
That's your number.
That's what I think.
Hmm.
That's a big one. I mean, the audience is going to be so much bigger, I would think. I don't know. It's on TNT. You think that's going to make a difference?
Yeah, I would say
so. This was NBC.
Yeah, I mean, they're cable cutting, you know? TNT.
A lot of people don't even know how to find TNT. What is it? 245, 248? Yeah. I don't know what it is.
245 on DirecTV, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. How about you? You're watching on your computer. You don't even have a TV.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that great?
Are you cord cutter?
I am, yeah. But I was watching the great driving relief at my parents' house.
Okay.
So they do
have, over there. Did you go over there specifically to watch it there?
No, I was at their house over the weekend.
Okay. What did you think of the driving relief?
Well, besides Matthew Wolff's dominance in the driving relief,
he did drive it long. Did you see that?
I mean, I wasn't even focused on that, Hank. What I was really focused on is on how he encouraged Ricky Fowler to putt so many great putts.
I called it on Ricky Fowler being the best putter.
Yes, you did.
I did not call it on the victory though. It went down to the playoff. The last shot closest to the pin. I didn't know that's the way they were going to end it. Closest to the pin. I was thinking before then. I was thinking the stupidest bet in the world would be in a skins game, with the last hole being worth $500,000. That you bet. You know, you take somebody with long odds, like Rory and DJ were. And when I say long odds, you know, the odds were, they were overwhelming favorites. But I thought that the bet would be to take the other side. I mean, it really came down to the last shot. Rory hitting the closest to the pin shot, the last shot, number one player in the world, coming through in the clutch. Your man, Matthew Wolff, had hit a good shot in there. He was getting ready to be the hero. Closest to the pin. They were going for the CDC or whatever. I don't know. One team was going for the CDC. The other team was going for the Nurses Association. Obviously, both great causes. But I thought that it comes down to the last shot. At that point, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what the odds would be. The line would be on this shot that Rory from 121 yards, wind blowing, pressure situation, not exactly like winning a major or something, but so he said he was nervous. What would the odds be that he was going to get it inside of Matthew Wolf? I didn't think they were great, but he did it. He did it. Well, what were you betting? Did you think Rory was going to do it?
Yeah, I did. He was the number one player in the world. There, I did get a tweet, Hank, and I would. This one comes from Aaron, and he told me to make sure I told you this. So Aaron told me, he sent me a direct message. He goes, he thinks this was a little rigged because Rory McIlroy is an NBC spokesperson.
Well, it definitely was rigged. But what part was rigged? What, I mean, it was a rigged commercial for TaylorMade and for Rory and his NBC and the whole thing. That was that wasn't a rigged finish that Rory would win.
I don't know, Hank. They didn't measure. They didn't measure, Hank.
Well, it looked like from the TV angle that Matthew Wolf was probably closer, but I don't think it was. I don't think it was actually close because, like Azinger said, usually the ball that's pin high is the closest, and it's just a little deceptive when you looked on it. But that it is interesting that they didn't put up the numbers. Why wouldn't they put up the yardage? You know, like a 22 feet versus 24 feet or something like that. Right. They were both good shots. Two good shots.
What part fascinated you the most?
Oh my God! You know what the part that fascinated me the most was at the beginning of the match. I was watching on the Golf Channel, and on the first two holes, that Jerry Foltz, my buddy, okay,
yeah,
my buddy Jerry Foltz, the guy that hates me to death, okay, Jerry Foltz is calling the shots, okay, as they're teeing off, like Dustin Johnson's teeing off, Rory McIlroy's teeing off, and he's calling the shots. And what fascinated me the most is there was something wrong with the timing. In other words, the picture and the audio weren't synced up. So Jerry Foltz, and he seemed to be a little hyped up too, Jerry Foltz was announcing the shot like a second before the ball was hit. It was like a split second before the ball was hit. Like right before Rory McIlroy makes contact, Jerry Foltz says, "This is a good one." And then you see the tracer after that. I mean, he made an early call. And then it's somehow either they fixed it or they told him in his headset, "Hey, just delay your call just a second. There's something off with it." I don't know if I was the only one that noticed this or not, but hey, this just fascinated me. I'm like, he's calling the shots before they've hit it. There's something wrong. There's something off with their timing. The whole production was just horrific. Horrific. I mean, horrific. I thought it was terrible. Awful. Production-wise. I can't imagine when they do the thing, the Tiger and Phil and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, that they're going to have that kind of a weak production. I thought it was just very weak. They did have the shot tracer out there thing, so you could see where the ball was going. But they were bragging on the fact, or I don't know if they're bragging on it or amazing or mentioned it. I don't know if this was a plus or a minus. I don't know that they had six cameras. I mean, they followed the ball okay, but a couple times they didn't. A couple times you didn't know where it went. A couple times the announcers didn't know where it went. Of course, the announcers weren't on site. They were at the PGA Tour. What did they call it? The media something, production something. I mean, they got a new thing going where the PGA Tour is producing everything and directing everything from their headquarters. Anyway, and it's just I thought it was kind of a weird deal, really.
Yeah.
I just thought the production quality. Well, I got a bunch more stuff on my list of production quality stuff. Let me think. Where should I start? How about they were using an airplane. Okay. Now, sometimes they have a balloon up there or a blimp. Okay. They got a blimp up there and they're shooting the, you know, pictures from the blimp. But rather than renting a blimp, which was probably, you know, cost prohibitive, or I don't know how the blimp works. Maybe the blimp people fly the blimp and they give them a plug and they say, this is the, you know, Goodyear blimp or the whatever kind of blimpy blimp or whatever it is. They got the blimp up there and they give them a plug and then maybe they do it for free. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But anyway, they didn't have a blimp. So they hired an airplane to fly around up there. And you could hear the airplane. Whenever they were doing the shot from the airplane, you could hear the airplane like above the guy. I thought that was weird too. Yeah. I don't know why I paid so much attention to this stuff, but it's just I kind of thought this was going to be the way this deal was going to be. I thought this is going to be, and they announced, you know, okay, it's different. They have Mike Tirico from Michigan in his house. They had Azinger and who else they have?
Coach. Gary.
Azinger and Gary Koch or Rich Lerner. Where was Rich Lerner? I don't know. Where were all these guys? There were Rich Lerner and Azinger and Koch were at the St. Augustine PGA Tour Entertainment Studio, wherever that is. And then Jerry Fultz and Steve Sanzi, they were at Seminole. So that's the way they did it, which is a, you know, I mean, it's kind of a cheap way to do it, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, you wonder maybe why they kind of do the European tour like that. When you watch the European tour on Golf Channel and they're doing tournaments, they have the feed and they got just two guys. And then maybe one other guy that's doing, I don't know, an on course or interview, but they just got two guys and they're like in a booth somewhere watching it. And then they're announcing it, which is kind of like the same thing you have like when Sirius XM does a broadcast. I mean, they've got the guys on the ground following the groups, but then don't they have like they got two guys in the studio? Isn't that the way it works?
Yes. Yeah. They have about three or four guys on the ground and then two or three guys in studio as well.
Yeah. No, it's a way to save money. I'm sure they're trying to, you know, figure out a way to do that too.
Right.
All right. So that was different.
On Tuesday's podcast, Hank started to ease towards rolling the ball back for the professional. I couldn't believe it, and Hank explained why. You can go to Tuesday's episode and listen to that entire podcast and find out why Hank might be in favor of a rollback for the professional.
What do you got on your mind here?
Well, the thing that was bothering me, Hank, is that we recorded the Monday podcast on the TaylorMade Driving Relief.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think you quite respected the greatness of Matthew Wolff.
Okay.
The youngest winner of the 3M Open ever, the hokey dokey swing, the uniqueness of that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, let me be honest with you for a second, and maybe you have some insights into this, because this has just been plaguing my mind for a long time now, two or three days.
Okay.
So I'm not as fascinated about Matthew Wolff's swing that he has now. I'm more fascinated about how he discovered this swing. So is there any way that you can take us through the
idea? I have no idea.
Hmm.
I have no idea how he got that swing. But there was a fella long time ago, like, 70 years ago or something. His name was James Brunn, B-R-U-N-N, James Brunn. I think that's how you spell it. And he was another guy that swung pretty much exactly like Matthew Wolff. I mean, if you look at their positions at the top of the swing, it is exactly the same. And I used to study these great books by Henry Cotton. He was a great teacher, former Open champion, and became a great teacher after his playing career ended. I was always fascinated by Henry Cotton. He was just an incredible instructor, and his whole deal was about impact and training your hands. I remember early in my career, he actually, he's still alive, and he was teaching. And he came to Pinehurst Hotel and Country Club one time when I was there doing the golf schools there. And everybody says, Henry Cotton's here teaching. And I thought, wow, you know, I've read his books and, you know of Henry Cotton. And he was supposed to be like a fantastic teacher. Well, he lugged a tire around with him, an old tire, okay, literally. And he would have people practice at impact hitting the tire. So you'd make like a half swing and you'd hit the tire. And the idea was you'd probably use like a 5-iron to do it. And you tried to make the club face hit the tire square. If you didn't, then it would vibrate. If you hit it with the toe or the heel or the bottom of the club. So you'd hit it square. And what it really did was it taught you to get the back of your left hand flat at impact, kind of like the impact snap does, one of my favorite training aids. But Henry Cotton would have his students, he'd line them up in the driving range. I thought this was an absolute joke. I mean, there's this guy carrying this tire around. All he does is he just has them hit the tire. And then he'd have them stand up there and hit the ball. And it was absolutely amazing, the results that he got. So the reason I mentioned Henry Cotton is he has this picture in his book, one of his books. He's got a few books. I've got them all on my shelf. I'm looking actually at some of them right now. One of them's called My Golfing Album by Henry Cotton. Really cool book. And I always studied the old pictures. And one of the pictures was James Brune. And James Brune has the same exact top of the swing as Matthew Wolff. So they point the club like straight up in the air, way, way across the line. It's like an antenna up there. And then the club drops to the inside, the right elbow comes in, and then you look at impact, and it's like they are so pure at impact. The position is absolutely amazing. But it just goes to show you there's different ways to do it. And I would much rather always see somebody loop the club up and then under, as opposed to under, going back, and then over. That's just my preference. So even though his swing is unique, Matthew Wolff, his impact position is phenomenal. And obviously his power, which I don't think really has to do with the swing. It just has more to do with his stature and his athletic ability and his quickness. But he won the two long drives, 356 and 365, which prompted me, Tim, to actually text a couple of my distance buddies who are just totally obsessed with distance and rolling the ball back and the whole thing. And after seeing those two drives at Seminole, it was a hot day, so the ball's going to go farther. Hot and humid, the ball goes farther. But having said that, it rained 4 inches or 4.5 inches or whatever they said on the telecast of the TaylorMade driving relief. They said it had rained 4 to 4.5 inches the day before or 2 days before at Seminole. So you're not getting hardly any roll at all. A lot of the balls didn't really roll in the fairway at all. And Matthew Wolff hits it the one long drive, 356 yards, and the other long drive, 365 yards. Now, I don't know if they were downwind. I mean, it didn't seem like it was windy at the start of the match. It got a little windy at the end, but I don't care if it was downwind or not. 356, 365. And I had to text John Huggan, who's my friend who's a writer in Scotland, is always harping about rolling the ball back, distance ball goes too far. And I had to text Jeff Shackelford, who is obsessed with rolling the ball back. I mean, that's like his number one topic. He loves to talk about that. And I had to tell them that after watching this today, I think I'm coming over to your guys' side a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Whoa!
I mean, that was ridiculous. I mean, my problem with the rolling the ball back is I just think they need to have two different sets of rules. I think they need to have a rule for the pros and a rule for the amateur. I don't want my ball rolled back. And I know, you know, you don't want yours rolled back and nobody else I know wants to roll back. But, I mean, driving at 365 yards? And, you know, players are just going to get bigger and stronger. And Tiger used to say this. He said, what's going to happen when the real athletes start playing golf? And, you know, the real athletes are, you know, starting to play golf. I mean, they do. I mean, you know, Brooks Koepka and, you know, this Cameron Champ and, you know, Matthew Wolff. And these guys are just hitting it like forever and ever and ever. There's this high school kid I know out in California that's played in the Bob Hope or the America Express or the Bill Clinton or whatever that thing's called out there at the PJ West, the American Express, I think it's now. It's got so many names.
Yeah, Desert. It used to be the Desert Classic.
Yeah, I can't keep all this track. But anyway, that kid, like, supposedly hits at 350 yards, too. So I'm coming over to their side a little bit, I have to
admit. Wow, I am just surprised by this.
Yeah, I am a little bit. I mean, although I'm not... I don't know if they're fans of the bifurcation. I'm a fan of the bifurcation. I think they should, if they want to, you know, going to roll it back, you know, roll it back for the pros, let them play with a different ball or whatever, make their stuff different. I don't think it's going to happen, but I can see that was ridiculous. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, I like to watch it, though, to be honest with you. I mean, I like to watch it, and I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I don't think they're going to be able to roll back, but that kind of, I'm not saying I'm all the way over on their side, but that inched me more towards my buddies there. Definitely. And they were very excited to receive my text, by the way.
I'm sure they were. Well, Hank, so I did this research several weeks ago when the PGA Tour was still going on. And let me move that inch to their side and bring it 3 inches back to my side.
Okay.
Where the ball doesn't get rolled back at all. I guess I don't really have a sword in the fight, but I will in this case. So,
okay.
In 2000, Hank, okay? So, in 2000 through 10 tournaments on the PGA Tour, and this is excluding the American Express and the WGC Mexico, in 2000, the under par score through 10 tournaments was minus 131. So, that's an average of 16 under par.
Right. Okay?
In 2020, through 10 tournaments, the under par score, so 20 years later, was 97 under par. So what is that? 31 plus 4. That's 35 under par more in 2000 than 2020. Does that bring you back to my side?
No. Well, here's the problem. And I've said this. If you're gonna make the golf ball go shorter, if that's your deal, then you got to get rid of all this other stuff that they've done, which is one, they've lengthened the courses, which that's probably going to stay. But the firmness of the greens, the speed of the greens, the tightness of the fairways, the tightness of the pin placements to the edge of the green. All of these things have made the game harder. And what they've really done is made it harder for the average player. The average player is not really he's not hitting it. He hasn't gone from 250. Okay. He hasn't gone from 250 to 300. The average player is still sitting back there. I mean, as a matter of fact, they mentioned on that telecast for the TaylorMade Drive and Relief that, see, Ben Hogan used to practice at Seminole, and they, said he used to take his bag of balls out there and hit on one hole or something, and he was hitting a 6-iron from 150 or 6-iron from 160 or 160. I forget what it was. It's something that just shocked me because a 6-iron, those guys, Matthew Wolf, Roy McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, I mean, they'll hit a 6-iron 200 yards. And it was something like 165, I think it was. It might even been less than that. Anyway, so it's changed up. But they've made the game so hard in other ways. This is why the score, and granted, it's mostly been done to compensate for the fact that the ball has gone so much farther. And it's not just the ball, it's the club too. But they've just, I've said this so many times. I mean, it's not like the game is worse. It's just different.
Let's take a quick pause and hear from our sponsors. In this clip on the Hank Haney podcast, the Great Predictor joined Hank and myself, and the Great Predictor shared one of the great stories, as only the Great Predictor will do. You can go to Wednesday's podcast and hear that entire episode. It was a beauty. You will not want to miss it.
You don't know shit. That was the title of the podcast.
Well, I mean, it was very that the title was apropos to the topic, Hank, because what elicited the genesis to this whole conversation, the genesis to the story was the fact that you guys ambushed me last week during the podcast. You know, we have very short meetings before we start pushing the record button. And you said our first segment of the day is, what does Steve know? And then you asked Tim, does Steve know anything? And Tim says, I don't know if he knows anything. So I told some stories that I did know. You guys didn't like it again. I don't know if that got edited out. I told the story about I don't like Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, no,
so
I don't think that.
On the Saturday Strong, what I did was I reflected Koepka, back. I know you do. And so does Matt Rudy. He loves him.
Yeah.
So I reflected back before the Saturday Strong edition. I told Tim, I said, I got a story to tell you. So the genesis was that I don't know much. And I remember this story. I was out on the lesson tee back at our first golf ranch up in McKinney. And this was shortly after you'd retired from being a golf coach at Southern Methodist University. You were that coach for, what, 6 years or so?
Yeah.
Did a great job there.
Familiar.
And one of the things that drove you crazy was all these kids that have never had a job before, never, ever had a part-time job, came to work. And your whole marching orders was, hey, guys, we're going to work hard. We're going to look back at the season. We're going to say, look what all that hard work did for us. And if you don't accomplish your goal, you're going to say, hey, we just got to work harder next time. That is Hank Haney 101 right there.
Right, right. That's 101.
And so you've had about enough. You were up over your head with those kids and you'd had enough of it. So just so happens, remember, I was with two of my students, Brock Mulder and Will Dodson, who happened to be good golfers on that team. And they were complaining about the coach. And why is the coach at the time was Jay Lohr.
Right, right.
Great coach.
Yeah,
he was
he was my assistant. And then last year or two, and then he took over the coaching job.
Yeah, so yeah. These kids were complaining about the coach and that they knew more about what should happen than the coach did and all that. And you happened to walk up and caught a little bit, kind of the tail end of it, and you got that look on your face.
I don't remember this story, but
well, it'll probably come clear here pretty soon because the message was a diamond. It was just one of your all time best messages.
Good.
And so
life
these
message,
kids were talking.
Life
yeah, it was a life lesson for sure for all of us.
All right.
For all of us. So you walked up and you heard the last part of the story and you got that look on your face. You know that look I'm talking about.
Well,
we all know
I've
that
never
look.
I've seen the look because I can't see myself.
Well, you know when it's boiling up inside. You absolutely know when it's boiling inside. And this was one of those times. And I thought, oh God, what's going to happen? And you said, boys, you know, start off pretty calm. You boys, you know, your coach may not know shit. We don't know if he knows anything right yet. He's just a new coach. We don't know if he knows shit. But I'll tell you one thing. Brock, you don't know shit. And Will, you certainly don't know shit either. Now, Steve, he knows some shit. And me, I know shit. But Jay Lohr, he may not know shit. But one thing's for sure. You guys don't know shit. And that went on for a good 15 minutes. And I thought, oh my gosh, I wonder if it's ever going to calm down. So you walked away, Hank. You walked away.
Yeah.
And I said, did you guys get that message? Did you get the message? And Will says, well, I mean, basically, Hank thinks we don't know shit. And I said, no, that's not the message. That's what the words that he was using. The message was, stay in your own lane. Your players, you need to concentrate on playing. Let the coach do the coaching and you guys concentrate on what you're responsible for and don't get in all worked up that the coach is making a decision you don't agree with. You've got to stay in your lane. And that was the moral of the story right there, Hank.
Yeah, that's true. Now tell
me you don't remember that.
No, tell me you don't remember. I do remember that. I don't specifically remember, but I certainly, when you tell the story, I can definitely, acknowledge that I probably would have done that or definitely could have done that. And I'm sure I did do that. Yeah.
Well,
that sounds like
I remember you said,
absolutely.
Now, when you said you didn't really remember it, I wanted to make sure that it happened. So I did. I called Will and I called Brock.
Come on.
And both I did.
And you
both
asked
of those guys.
You don't know shit story?
Yeah. I told him, all I told him, Hank, was you've got to listen. I said, I haven't talked to them in months. It's probably 6, 7, 8 months. I said, you guys got to listen to this podcast, Saturday Strong edition of the Hank Haney podcast. They said, why? I said, because the title of the episode is You Don't Know Shit. And both of them burst out laughing. Both of them. They knew exactly what. In fact, Brock told me that he got a little dose after the fact, too. You caught up with him. He got another little dose. So validated.
So I straightened him out a little bit.
Okay. You did. It was, I tell you what, they will never forget it.
All right. Never forget it. I won't forget it again either. Now that you've refreshed my memory. That was a pretty good story. I like it. I'm sure you got some more you're going to bring up as we move along in life, because I have had some moments. There's no doubt about that. But that's a good one. And you actually told that story very well. That was.
Thank you.
That was good. But it was a life lesson is what it was. Tim, did you get that life lesson?
I did enjoy that life lesson. Yes.
Okay. All right. Just remember. Remember, you're a hard worker, so you don't you stay in your own lane. So that's you're probably not going to have to worry about that. You probably won't get the you don't know shit story.
I got another one for another day that we can share.
All right. Well, we'll do that. This was good stuff, Steve. Thanks for joining us. Great story there. And make sure you follow everybody here on the podcast on Twitter. At Hank Haney, at Tim Porochka. That would be Minnesota Tim. I don't know why it says Tim Porochka, but at Tim Porochka. And this is a great one for you. Rather than the great predictor, he's known as Stevie Ray J. If you can figure that out on Twitter.
I got to change that. I got to change that, man.
I mean, I give you this great name, and then you...
You did.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick pause and hear from our sponsors. In the closing clip, and you can hear this on Friday's podcast, Hank and me, as well as the great predictor, made some prop bets for the match 2 champions for charity, Tiger, Phil, Tom, and Peyton. Prop bets, fun ones, interesting ones. You can go to Friday's episode and hear that entire podcast.
This one I want to start off with first is, will Tiger wear a red shirt? How about that? Minus 600 on the yes. There's overwhelming odds he's going to wear the red shirt. What do you think?
Gosh, man, I'd have to vote yes on that one. I'd have to bet yes that he's going to do it. I wouldn't be surprised. Do you think he looks at this stuff and thinks, man, I'm going to mess these guys up. I'm going to switcher up. I'm going to put the switcheroo on him.
You think they'll wear team uniforms, Tim? What do you think?
No, they're not going to wear team uniforms. I don't see that happening.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay, I'll tell you. I bet they both wear... I don't think they're going to wear exact team uniforms because they're not represented by the same companies, but I would guess there's going to be some kind of a matchy thing. I mean, I don't think you're going to see I think you might see two red shirts, some kind of red. I just they'll tell the guy just wear some kind of red shirt, something like that.
Yeah, and Peyton Manning's a humorous guy. He's got a great personality, so I could see Peyton Manning, you know, coming in with a Sunday red or something.
Yeah, they're going to do it. I bet they do. But listen, Tiger hasn't been on TV. He's got the big Nike contract. Let me tell you something that's going to happen for sure. Nike's going to be selling shirts on Sunday. You can take that one to the bank.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to come with something.
Is Peyton Manning also Nike?
I don't know. Is he?
I don't know.
It's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. That'll be will be interesting. Okay, what else we got, Tim? What's the next one you want to talk about?
All right, so what about the total number of times Tiger Woods twirls his club? We got an over-under of 2.5.
I would say... That's a good question. I'm going to go over.
Don't overthink it now.
I'm going to go over. Over.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I'm over on that one too.
Yeah.
Are you writing these down, Tim, so we can make sure we can have an accounting of how Steve does on this?
I can write them down. Yes, I can write them down.
Yeah, write them down because Steve will claim he got every one of them.
So let's review here. We've got Steve's got Mickelson winning.
Yeah.
Steve has the twirl, Tiger Woods twirl. I have the 2.5 as the line. I've got the over on that one.
Okay.
And then what was the other one?
Red shirt.
Oh, yeah, red shirt. That's a yes. Red shirt, okay. Yes.
All right. What about the logo on the front of Tom Brady's hat? What do you guys think on that? Will it be a Buccaneer or will it be a TB12? TB12 is overwhelming favorite. Minus 400. Yeah.
That's the logo on his company or?
I think so. Yeah. Well, it's his. I don't know. It's his logo. Like, you know, Tiger's got the TW. Mm-hmm. He's got the TB12.
Oh gosh, I don't know. Either way, I probably have to pass on that bet, Hank. I don't feel strongly either way on that one.
Okay. Tim.
TB12.
TB. I think so. TB12. Will Mickelson wear a hat or a visor?
I'm going visor. I'm going to go visor.
Visor's heavy favorite. Good pick by you.
You know, sometimes he's gone no hat, but he's just got that wild hair now and maybe no haircut in the last 8 to 10 weeks. You know, they're still locked in over there in California, Hank.
Yeah.
In God's country. They're locked in. Maybe Phil couldn't get a haircut. Maybe he's ponytail.
All right.
Well, here's the one for you guys. We got into this a little bit last week about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning off the tee. You guys said it was highly unlikely that they would hit the first fairway. Tom Brady, if he hits the first fairway, yes, minus 120, no, minus 120. Peyton Manning, yes, minus 150, no, plus 110.
How could you make somebody a minus 150 favorite to hit the fairway if they're an amateur golfer that's an 8 handicap? Can you explain that to me, Steve?
Irons only.
They'd have to be playing St. Andrews.
So what's the first hole, Hank, at the Medalist?
I don't care. They're not playing at St. Andrews. Let me just put it that way. And St. Andrews, the first fairway encompasses everything from the right out of bounds to the out of bounds left. Which is the out of bounds left is the right side of 18. You literally have two of the widest fairways ever combined into making one fairway. Other than that, I would not pick an amateur to hit a fairway. Not as a minus 150 favorite. No chance. I mean, I don't see how you can bet that. I mean, the percentage on the PGA Tour is like 60-something%. How can you have a minus 150 on an 8 handicap under pressure, playing on TV, first shot, playing with, you know, a Tiger Woods? I mean, that's just no. Oh my, there's no chance. I give them both no chance to hit the fairway.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You pick them.
All right.
Let me see what you pick.
Yeah.
Who do you got? You think one of them will hit the fairway?
No, we talked about this a while ago too. I voted no on both of them too.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't think that they're going to do it. I don't know what the first hole is. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how wide the fairway is.
It's not now, wide.
Are they all playing the same tee? Are they all playing the same tee, or the amateurs playing the tee up?
Well, they got at this Medalist, I guess they got Tiger tees, which are the back tees. And when they talked about that, and they said they were going to play, everybody played the Tiger tees, and then Peyton Manning like immediately jumped in there and said, no, we're not playing the Tiger tees.
Okay, yeah, well that would be tough.
I think they're moving them up, or they're going to move everybody up, or to pick different tees. I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't think they're not going to push those guys all the way back. No.
No fairways for me.
Okay, no fairways. All right. Tim, what's next?
All right, what about this one? So let me reword this one a little bit and put some of my own odds on it. So the original question says, will Donald Trump attend? And the odds, yes, are plus 900 and no, minus 3300. But let me switch that up a little bit. So Donald Trump, the president, he did do an interview with Mike Tirico from NBC last week at the TaylorMade Driving Relief. So what are the odds for you that he does another interview this week, let's say, with Ernie Johnson from TNT? I'll put those odds at, like, yes, minus 150, and then no, plus 120 or something like that.
Okay.
Gosh. What do you think, Hank? What do you think, Hank?
No, you tell
okay,
me.
Okay, me first?
Yeah.
I'm the predictor, right?
Yeah, I feel like you're taking all my stuff.
No Donald Trump.
No, it's not going to happen. There's going to be no Donald Trump. It's a bad move. Why would you piss off half your audience?
Yeah.
Stupid. I mean, you know, it's a golf match. You don't need to politicize it. And, you know, it doesn't matter what he says. Half the people don't like him. And, pretty much doesn't matter what he says. Half the people like him. You know, this is what I don't understand when everybody gets, you know, people take it like Rory McIlroy is a stupid thing to do when the comments he made. You know, and listen, you're pissing off half the country. First off, you're not even from this country. So why are you, you know, you're pissing off half the country. And you know, if you say this and if you say that, you're pissing off half the country. Why would you? He's not bringing. No, he will not be making an appearance.
Okay, no, so what is the over under that Joe Biden can name all the guys in the match?
Zero.
What are the odds there?
Zero.
Is he getting coverage down in the bunker down there? Is he getting coverage in the lockdown?
I think he's in his basement.
Okay, yeah. I wonder if he gets coverage down there.
I don't know. That's a good point, though. They could have them both on. That would be pretty funny. That would be funny. All right. Okay. How about this one?
The wheels just came off.
I'm laughing as I'm reading this stuff.
Okay, let me ask one more then. While you're laughing, let me ask one more.
Okay.
What's the over and under on Joe Biden eating dinner out of a straw in the next 4 months?
What? Oh, that's terrible. Man, you are dark.
But I'm just asking a question. I'm posing the over under.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, you don't even know it. Well, I'll let you figure it out, Tim. Okay.
Okay, that's all I have. Okay, that's all the over unders I have.
All right. Here's some other ones. We predicted some good stuff, but okay. Will audible be said by any player? Okay. Will deflate be said by any player? What do you think about deflate? Will deflate be said?
Oh man,
I like that. Yeah, yes.
Tim says yes. Steve, yeah, I don't know. What do you
think?
Ooh,
that's a shot, though, man.
That's a shot.
Are they going to do that? Are they going to do shots?
Tim says they will.
Okay, so in order for deflate to be said, it's either got to be Peyton Manning or Tiger Woods saying it.
Yeah.
Well, no shit, Steve.
Tiger Woods is not going to say that. Tiger Woods is not saying
that. No, he's not going to say it. Either is Peyton Manning.
No.
So that's a no on that. Will Gronk be said by any player?
Ooh. Man, they're going deep. See how starved we are to get bets, Hank?
Can you believe we're betting on this? Somebody will say that.
Golly, Gronk, okay.
Yeah.
I'm saying yes.
What about Omaha?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mickelson will say that after a Peyton Manning bad shot or something.
Yeah.
What about Mickelson loves to bet. I mean, he's probably looking at all these bets. He's probably laying a wager somewhere. He's going to win every single one of these.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Sunday Sizzle Best of Edition, hosted by me, Minnesota Tim Porochka. You can email the show, HankHaneyGolf@Outlook.com. Follow the show on Twitter, @HankHaney. And also check out HaneyUniversity.com. Buy Hank's new book, see Hank's instruction, sign up for the newsletter. It's free. Check out VoodooPainRelief.com. Free 2-week supply. Hank is giving it all. just for you. Thank you for listening to the Hank Haney Podcast Best of Edition, hosted by me, Minnesota Tim Peroshka. We appreciate you making the podcast a part of your day.
Thanks for tuning into the Hank Haney Podcast. Listen, follow, rate, and share on iTunes, on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can make your thoughts and questions heard by emailing the show at hankhaneygoff@outlook.com. And you can also tweet me directly by sending your tweets to @HankHaney on Twitter. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.